This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And what a wonderful life it is with Jesus. We've been talking about the decision to follow Jesus Christ and, you know, what that involves. I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, it says to us in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. So have you made that choice to follow Jesus Christ? We've been talking about discipleship. I believe, one of those absolute essential keys to, you know, understanding the decision to follow Jesus Christ. And so we looked at the first key of discipleship, which was clarity. We must be clear in what we say and what we stand for. And secondly, humility. A disciple doesn't know it all, and that is why they follow, because they want to learn and grow. In the New Testament, the word disciple literally means a learner or a pupil. But you cannot learn or follow if you lack humility. Are you humble enough to acknowledge that you don't know it all? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Are you willing to learn of him? Are you willing to sit in the schoolhouse of Christ? Verse 29 in the NIV, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The New Living, "Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you. Because I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Do you want to be like Jesus? Because every true disciple should. What is Jesus like? Well, clearly he is humble, for he tells us and he shows us. Luke 22:27, "For who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who sits at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." Jesus said, "I'm among you as one who serves." Jesus, you know, had the heart to serve his disciples. Fact is, just before the cross, one of the last things he did aside from breaking bread was to wash the feet of his disciples. Now, before the feast of the Passover, John 13, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Verse 2, "And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." I think that's important to understand, that sometimes the devil can try and put things into your heart. That's why we have to guard our hearts. Amen? Because not every thought that comes into our heart is from God. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water onto a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." So Jesus gave us an example, and he said that as leaders, this is how we should be. He said, "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." So, again, I think humility must be at the center of all that we do. Jesus exemplified humility, and so should we. Think about it. The one person in the universe who could have been proud and arrogant chose to be humble. The King of glory, God in flesh, the Savior of all mankind, the King of kings and Lord of lords, was and is humble. So we're only like God to the degree that we are humble people. Philippians 2 verse 8 talks about how Christ humbled himself and made himself literally of no reputation. The King of glory cast aside his splendor to walk among us as a man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus chose to surrender and suffer the most ignominious shameful death possible, to die on a cross. How concerned we are at times with what mortal men think of us, and yet we ignore the God who made us. Christ humbled himself. 1 Peter 5 verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. This is a command, not a suggestion. Pride was the original sin, causing Satan to be cast out of heaven, and we would do well to be warned. None of us are exempt from the temptation of flattery or thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. You know, my father never went to college, but he taught me many lessons in his own rough, tough way. As a child, I was telling him about how well I had done something, so much so that I'd clearly impressed myself, and he simply replied, self-praise is no praise. Acts chapter 10 and verse 24, here we have this story of Cornelius, the first Gentile convert, and it's striking. You know, chapter 9, I suppose, acknowledges the supernatural manner of Saul's salvation. You know, Paul the Apostle, who would become, you know, the Apostle to the Gentiles. And the next chapter is, you know, recounts the, I suppose, the first Gentile converts and the miraculous manner in which God facilitated this encounter, because Peter was never going to come across these people in daily life, because as a Jew, he was called to be separate. And yet, God gives this man Cornelius, as he's praying, as he's, you know, he was a devout man who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now, I mean, to, you know, many of us would make a person like that an elder in a church or a board member or a deacon or whatever. And yet Cornelius wasn't saved. I think it's quite sobering to consider that. He was a devout man. And, you know, he feared God. He walked in the fear of God, and he gave alms generously. You know, he was a giver, and he was constantly in prayer. And yet, notwithstanding that, notwithstanding the fact that he was probably living a better life than many Christians today, he wasn't saved. And suddenly he was given a vision, and an angel of God spoke to him, and he said, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Now, send men to Joppa and send for Peter, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner's house by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. And I think that the thing I find fascinating about this story is that, you know, this angel could travel all the way from heaven. He could walk through the wall, because there's no indication the angel knocked on the door. The angel appears to Cornelius, and in spite of all the miraculous things this angel could do, the angel could not preach the gospel to Cornelius. The time will come when angels will. But, you know, right now we're under a dispensation of grace and, you know, a season where God has entrusted us with the most sacred message of all and with the sacred privilege of leading others to Christ. And so at the same time, God appears to, sends a vision to Peter. It shows him all these unclean animals, tells him, Peter, take and eat. Peter says, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. And three times God does this, and God three times responds, what God has called clean, you must not call unclean. And Peter is reflecting on this when these men come to call him to the house. God tells him, go, don't be afraid. And so we see, you know, a lot of miraculous things happening in this moment. And what I want to read here is verse 24 to 26, because, you know, Peter walks in and, you know, obviously Cornelius is highly impressed. And verse 24, and the day following they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for him, and he called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. So Cornelius was already a soul winner. He had already invited his friends and family to come. But I think it's interesting that as the man chosen by God to bring the message of salvation to the Gentiles, Peter walked in humility. Think about it for a moment. God knew exactly where Peter lived and even gave Cornelius the address in a vision, and gave Peter a vision to show that he had included the Gentiles in his plan of salvation. I mean, how many of us would have been tempted to be proud and arrogant? But you know what? Peter picked him up, says, "You're not allowed to worship me. I'm just a man." He refused to be put on a pedestal. And so, as leaders, it's essential that we lead with humility. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for every person listening today. I just pray that this series has been speaking to them, stirring their hearts to seek you, to humble themselves before you, to read your word, to pray, and to truly follow through on Christ's call to follow him. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. May the peace and presence of Christ our Savior fill your heart and home. In Jesus' wonderful name, God bless you.